This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. Hour number three of the Bob Rose Show. Roland, Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of the top stories. Trump and Vance and Zelensky sat down Friday, and it did not go well. It was contentious. It was not going by the agreed-upon plan. He ended up not signing the mineral deal. He had met with a few of both Republicans and Democrats early in the morning. Then he met with some anti-Trump Democrats, and then he walked into that meeting. Some would characterize it as he was quite arrogant, and from what I saw, I tend to agree with that. Now, do we know every little thing that happened leading up to that? No. What I know on a simplistic, basic level is that he agreed to sign the mineral deal, and they had talked about it. I mean, it didn't seem like there was a great deal of hesitation. It was a done deal. But everything changed. It seems like on that day, was it something that Democrats said? Because they did tell him not to take the deal. And that was their advice. Don't take the deal. Now, I don't know if he had it in his mind he was going to take it or not up until that point, and they swayed him. But again, it sounds like, by all indications I have, and I'll correct it if I'm wrong, but he agreed that he was going to sign the mineral rights deal. You give your word, what happened? We may find that out. I know Marco Rubio's already kind of reestablished some sort of a communication, and there might be a do-over, maybe. One of those stories that we'll have to follow. Quick reminder, at the end of this week, Saturday night, you want to push your clock forward. Speaking of Rubio, wasn't he one of the people behind, we're going to quit doing this time change malarkey?
Man, that has been a topic for years now. But it apparently it takes a movement of Congress to make it happen. So, I don't know.
But the clock on the wall, all you got to do is just one little...
Yeah, but... Did you catch me mention that word Congress? That's a lot of people that you got to get on.
You know, can you really make...
That slows the clock sometimes. Just saying.
Serious stuff going on in the Carolinas, at least specifically to this situation, South Carolina, wildfires. Wildfires, and the South Carolina governor has declared a state of emergency. Largest South Carolina wildfire is zero contained as of yesterday afternoon. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster declared state of emergency. Firefighters are battling hundreds of wildfires across the Carolinas. They've had a lot of dry weather. I've declared state of emergency, further support wildfire responses across the state, et cetera, et cetera. Statewide outdoor burning ban remains in effect. Violators will be prosecuted. Please stay informed. Apparently, nearly 5,000 acres have burned in the Palmetto State. 170 fires reported, according to their Department of Forestry. Ignitions were caused by very low relative humidity, coupled with drying fuels, meaning, you know, all that ground vegetation turning, you know, dry and
yep,
just ready to go up in flame. And also, you know, a lack of significant rain. It's all come together. And then mm-hmm. you had some high winds.
Ooh, bad combo.
And that obviously is going to spread fire very, very quickly. One is in Carolina Forest, a community about 10 miles west of Myrtle Beach in Horry County. And wildfires had incinerated, as of Sunday afternoon, about 1,200 acres and zero contained. I know they had one where a power line went down, and that was the source of that blaze. So far, according to this report, no structures had been lost. No injuries had been reported. That's a good thing.
Yeah. You wonder how they are compared to, say, Florida, you know, because we do such a great job here on our prescribed burns and that sort of thing. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, because when I was out in Levy County and Wilton Simpson was there Saturday night, I believe he said that 25% of the prescribed burns in the country we do here in Florida.
I know that we're very aggressive in that, our mm-hmm. Department of Forestry. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've had Ludi Bond on the air many times, and she's been there for decades. And, yeah, they're very proactive in mm-hmm. trying, because it's funny, I was on the bike over toward the Daytona area, and I remember this whole area that got wiped out bad was, I think it's called Tiger Bay. It's a, there's a wildlife management area there, and, man, that thing was crispy. Fried, and so it's finally come back with, you know, some mature trees, but you know, there's a couple decades, and I think they learned a lot from those widespread wildfires that we had back in the day. And now, yes, they seem to be quite aggressive and assertive and trying to be preemptive, and I think that's very, very helpful. They're doing some of the same things, I know, in North and South Carolina.
Good.
Because North Carolina also is having some brush fires and stuff to deal with. They're using some Black Hawk helicopters to do the water drops.
Good.
So
very cool.
Yeah. Again, hopefully things will be all right. Residents of the communities of Saluda and Tryon in North Carolina, there are a couple of the areas that are facing some of these fires. That, in fact, was where a downed power line had ignited that particular area. So anyway, feel for the folks dealing with that.
Yeah,
especially coming on the heels of the whole thing, you know, in California and L.A. and all that. I know they had firefighters out there when they were doing the Academy Awards last night.
Well, that's probably the best thing they did on the show was acknowledge the fire department.
Absolutely agree with that, 100%. And so anyway, yep, you got to be pay attention. You got to be vigilant when it comes to things like wildfires, for sure. Hey, Trump wants to make, well, he did. You know, didn't they talk about this, making English the official language of the U.S.? I could have swore we've had another one of these conversations for a long time. And I thought somebody would say, well, you know, it comes with maybe more baggage than you think, or maybe it would take an act of Congress. It doesn't sound like that was the deal. President Trump made English the official language of the United States on Saturday in an executive order. And the move was highly anticipated. May surprise those who assumed English was not already the official tongue.
Yeah.
I think when most of us began discussing this, I think that was how a lot of us felt. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? We got to make it the official language? It's not the official language? When did that happen? So he made it official. It is the official language.
Here we go.
And there were some Democrats.
Yeah.
They wanted to pick Latin.
Oh.
Which you would have fit right in there.
Oh, yeah. I can do that. Aye, N.K. Yogte and A. Patton Lay.
Told you.
Elway. But I wouldn't want to do it all the time. And it's still America, not Latin.
America.
That's right.
Nationally designated language is at the core of a unified and cohesive society in the United States is strengthened by a citizenry that can freely exchange ideas in one shared language, et cetera, et cetera. All right. President, he is a busy president. Mm-hmm. We'll try to keep up with him on our end.
Yeah.
And report all the happenings to you. And, yeah, I mentioned the clocks moving forward. You've also got Ash Wednesday is coming up. Can you believe it's March 3rd already?
No.
Just like that.
No.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
More headlines, more information to share with you, more folks calling in on the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. You got it. 97.3 The Sky. Yeah, almost killed rock radio.
What?
The synthesizer.
Oh.
For crying out loud.
Yeah. It
knocked
just,
that off.
It seemed wrong watching him play that.
It was wrong.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Good morning and welcome. Happy Monday. And we're here to help make Mondays great. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:20, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Remember that $15 million jury award from the Alachua County Sheriff's Office to a local sergeant that was, passed over for promotions time and time again. And now Alachua County Sheriff's Office, well, their attorneys coming back and really giving a pathetically low ball offer. So
yeah.
If they want to appeal, go ahead and appeal. But that was insulting, like $30,000 on a $15 million award. No, I don't think so. So that's one of your top bigger stories locally. And then we've got, even before Happy Hump Day Trump Day, it's not even Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. President Donald Trump is off to a good start in his second term, according to the latest Harvard Caps Harris poll. His indefatigable nature,
wow,
Greg.
I like that. That's
a big, that's a $42 word right there.
Yes.
That nature is gradually winning over the public. Yeah. His job rating basically is 58%. Well, 58% believe Trump is doing a better job than Biden, and that includes nearly a quarter of Democrats.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yep.
And that's the ones that will admit it.
Now, look, Trump still has room to grow his rating.
Sure.
Yep. Because, well, some of his new policies are popular, and then some are questioning them. People that work in the government sector, I think, are concerned that they're going to lose their jobs. And I think it's valid. I grew up in this business where we always feared losing our jobs. It was
the most paranoid people of any industry you can think of.
And if
much.
You're already a little anxious to begin with, not mentioning Greg or Bob by name.
No. Not at all.
It does. It does lead to some anxiety. So I do. I feel for the people who feel like they may be on the chopping block. I'm going to say what I think most people feel.
What's that?
Nobody wants to see anybody lose their job, number one. But number two, if some cuts have to be made, we hope they're judicious, that people who are actually working take some care and pride in their job. The hope and the prayer is they'll get to keep their jobs.
Right.
And then there's plenty of people that I think call it in, so to speak, either literally or figuratively. And I think for those folks that aren't taking their jobs seriously, clearly they don't value them, then those jobs should be eliminated. Whether they're able to, Doge is able to do that well, like with the scalpel, that remains to be seen. But I think that they're operating at a very fast pace, which could lead to some mistakes and overslashing. However, my understanding in a couple of cases, they've been extremely quick about remedying that once they know.
Yeah.
No, wait a second. Wait. No, we don't want to cut that. Those people are actually doing something. So we'll see how things continue to unfold. But right now, President Trump is, he's getting very, very good support and very high marks. From the, majority of the population. That's a good thing. Actress Daryl Hannah. She was pretty cute back in the day, wasn't she?
Yeah, she kind of had her, I'm not saying a flash in the pan. She had a few hits, got some attention, Nothing really that great, I don't think, in the last number of years, though.
Was she in the Kill Bill? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mermaid, of course, you know, made
her
pretty
famous. Well, that was the one that put her on the map, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But she was also in Blade Runner, too. And anyway, she showed support for Ukraine during the 2025 Oscars when presenting the award for Best Editor. And she walked on the stage and gave a peace sign before calmly saying, Salva Ukraini, to the audience. And apparently that's the battle cry of the Ukrainian armed forces, according to Kyiv Independent. Slava Ukraini is more than a century-old slogan, deeply tied to Ukrainian identity. Ukraine's detractors have long attempted to depict the phrase as something nefarious, yet it has been a patriotic rallying cry among Ukrainians for a long time, generations, in fact, akin to God Save the King in the UK, or Vive la France.
Interesting. Well, everyone has their opinion.
Yeah. Now, the phrase can be traced back over a century, tied to Ukrainians' efforts to build an independent state, even way back when, long before the fall of the Soviet Union, right? Most notably, in the face of enduring Russian aggression. All right. So, hey, that was simple enough. The peace sign. She gives the battle cry. I don't know if that's necessarily who that would be a problem for.
Do we think it is, and I get the whole free speech thing, I get it. But do you think we'll ever get to a point, and I don't think we will, we want to watch shows for the show. It's about the movies, whether it's Academy Awards or the Grammys or whatever. I guess I wish that we didn't always have to feel like, oh, we're gonna get their political opinion on the latest and greatest thing. That's not why people tune in, typically, I don't think. Unless you're core, and that's your people.
It's an interesting dynamic. Because there are some people that feel, you know, they really feel compelled. Uh-huh. Well, look, I'll use the Christian reference.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I don't want these Bible thumpers, you know, banging on my door. Yeah, if I want to go to church, I know where there's one.
Okay.
All right. But the believer might say, look, neighbor, if your house was on fire, I would bang on your door at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And although that might put you out momentarily of being woken up in the middle of the night,
right.
I may have theoretically saved your life.
Okay.
Well, I have the same concerns for your spiritual life, and I have found a way that I believe can be quite helpful, and I'm just merely extending that invitation to you to give it a try.
Right.
So, and some people say, well, that's not right. Don't go banging on someone else's door and trying to push something on them. And then others would say, well, it's kind of your duty to at least, you know, get the word out. What happens with it after that, you know, that's not up to you. But you should at least make the attempt. So these people, you know, many of them lack maybe a religious belief. So they promote whatever the flavor of the day is, their particular agenda, and they feel compelled to do it. They have a public audience, and they're like, that's my opportunity.
Right. Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
But I think I know what you're saying, Greg. You're saying, like, if you're in the tennis shoe business, really like you to focus on making the best tennis shoe at the best price for the consumer.
I don't need your personal opinion about world affairs.
Right. And if you're like a sporting event, then perhaps I'd really like you to focus on the game because I may be tuning in specifically to get away from all the issues of the day.
Yes.
I think I got you.
And you're supposed to be an entertainment industry, which is supposed to be a distraction of all those things. I know, crazy talk.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, I know.
It is 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Oh, what's happened on this day in history? We'll delve into the history books. We'll blow the dust off that and do that next on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning. Welcome. Making Mondays awesome. It's what we do on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Hey, don't forget, you never have to miss a minute of the show. Download the Bob Rose Show podcast. That's right. Wherever you normally get your podcast, or you can use the Audacy app, AUDACY, and then just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show and the compelling content. For instance, if you miss tomorrow, you might miss former Congressman Ted Yoho is going to be on with us 8 o'clock.
Yep.
But if you got the podcast, you'll never miss it.
There you go.
It was on this date, way back in 1875. It was the first, what they consider the first official indoor ice hockey game in Montreal, Quebec.
See, even though it's Montreal, I would have not guessed 1875.
You thought it would be sooner or later?
Later. I that just kind of surprises me. I don't know. I guess it was a bigger deal farther back than I remember.
Well, look, as long as there's been ice and hockey, there's probably been people thinking that, gee, it sure would be nice if we were kind of covered from the wind and the other things. But I don't know if it's coincidence or what, but apparently that hockey game, the first indoor hockey game, actually ended in a fight.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Probably did.
After weeks of training at the Victoria Skating Rink with his friends, Montreal resident James Crichton advertised in the March 3rd edition of the Montreal Gazette that, quote, a game of hockey will be played in the Victoria Skating Rink this evening between two nines chosen from among the members. Prior to the move indoors, ice hockey was a casual outdoor game with no set dimensions for the ice, no real rules regarding the number of players per side. Now the skating rink apparently was a bit snug, so Crichton, now considered a father of Canadian hockey, limited the teams to 9 players each.
And thus the beginning of hockey as we know it, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting. Had no idea. But again, the main thing I think that blows my mind is it was that far back.
But in true hockey tradition, it did end in a melee.
Well,
you gotta like that. Speaking of a melee, Brett Favre, if he had a chance, I think he might.
He's a scrapper.
He might pop old Zelensky, you know, in the head.
Mm-hmm.
But he did praise Trump and Vance. And he saw it the way many of us saw it. Former Green Bay Packer Brett Favre said it was unreal to see the Ukrainian leader Zelensky speaking disrespectfully to President Trump in the Oval Office. I think a lot of people were taken back by it.
I thought he was going to kick him out. I seriously thought at some point he's going to get fed up with this guy and just say, get out of my office.
Well, I mean, by some accounts, it says by the end of the conversation, both Trump and Vance had called the visiting Ukrainian head of state disrespectful.
Right.
And Trump actually at some point did tell Zelensky to leave.
Oh.
Yeah.
I missed that part. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't. Again, doesn't surprise me a bit.
So Brett Favre thanked Trump and Vance for standing up for America. Nice. Again, this is kind of the same take that, you know, an otherwise normal Oval Office meeting with a foreign leader took a decided turn for the bizarre after Zelensky went after Vice President Vance following a seemingly innocuous comment about pursuing diplomacy to end the Ukraine-Russian war, as previous President Joe Biden had failed to do. That is absolutely true. Did you ever hear Biden talk about peace between Russia and Ukraine ever once? I followed the news every single day. I do not recall that ever occurring.
No. Trump was the only one talking peace.
In fact, we know that Biden didn't talk to Putin at all, no communications at all for three of his last 3 years out of four.
Not smart.
Yeah. Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines and Jerry, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Hey, I have a bit of a different take, but before I say what I'm going to say, I want to preface that I wholeheartedly support the Trump agenda, the Make America Great agenda, and I do believe that Zelensky is a corrupt politician who is profiteering off of the war. But Just as Trump said that, you know, you can't criticize Vladimir Putin in public and then go to him trying to mediate an agreement, I think it was bad statesmanship to tell the they should have cut the press off, and they should have had that internal dialogue, and to berate Zelensky and tell him he has no cards just but for the U.S. That's sort of playing into Russia's strong hand. I mean, what Zelensky wanted was security agreements, and I don't blame him. From the Minsk agreements, where they gave up their nuclear weapons when they became a sovereign state, when the Soviet Union dissipated in the 90s, they were given guarantees by Russia that they wouldn't invade, and they were given guarantees by Europe that they would be defended, that Ukraine would be defended. And none of that happened. And so I kind of understand why they want some sort of security. Now, I don't think it should be the United States. I think it should be the European Union. But I don't think he's out of line for asking for some security guarantees because of past history. And that's what he was trying to bring up in the Oval Office. But once again, shouldn't have been done, litigated in front of the media. But I don't think berating him I think that was beneath Trump and beneath the United States.
And everybody is entitled to see it the way that they did. I can tell you this. If there were question marks about the legitimacy of the deal and any question marks at all, should have been addressed prior to this. My understanding was you're coming here to sign the agreement that involves the, you know, the mineral, the minerals and stuff, the rare earth minerals. That was a done deal. In other words, if you had an issue with it, you would bring that up. Like if you and the boss agreed to a new contract.
Right.
And he said, well, good. Well, you know, look, we'll sign it in front of the rest of the staff and, right?
Uh-huh.
And look, Bob's staying for another, 10 years. And here he's signing this record-breaking contract.
Right.
Everybody be, cheering and applauding and going, he sucks. I don't know why they did it. Mm-hmm. But they and then instead of signing it, I push it back and I go, hey, I want to work remote, and I want a company chopper.
Yeah.
Not like as in aircraft, as in a motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you're not greedy.
Company chopper.
Yeah.
Right. but can you imagine that? And would your boss be upset with you?
Yeah.
Very much so. So if you look at it that way, you're the one. It's Zelensky doing the asking. It's Zelensky that's been on the receiving end of incredibly generous.
Yeah, we have covered that earlier.
Joe Biden, of course, it's easy to be generous when it's other people's money, but I mean, the U.S. has been very generous with Zelensky. And all Trump wants to do is say, hey, obviously we've got skin in the game. That's called, money and armaments. We've got skin in the game. How about, something in return, like the rare earth minerals? And he agreed completely, to my understanding, completely.
Well, and let me throw this in, because we mentioned this earlier. So what if this theoretical scenario, you're going to have your little meeting in front of the whole staff. What if before the meeting I had gotten with you and said, Bob, look, I know you agreed, but you really should get a company chopper, and you really should get 15 years, and then I'm the instigator of the problem. Should that come back on me, just like it should come back on some of these Dems who stirred the pot?
Well, I can give you a real-life example.
Okay.
I got a call from a program director in Dallas while I was in Orlando.
Okay.
And just previous to that phone call, and he had reached out to me before. He was very interested in me. Well, I wasn't under contract because I was just part-time. Then I was at night.
Right.
Well, I had just finished shaking the hand of my general manager, agreeing that I was going to do the afternoon show.
Okay.
We hadn't even really ironed everything out, but I gave him my handshake. Right. I gave him my word. So when that program director called, I didn't necessarily want to move, but Dallas is a big market.
Yes.
I clearly could have, doubled my paycheck.
Sure.
But I said, look, I already shook the hand of the general manager. I gave
him
my word.
Yeah.
And he said, if, of course I respect that. Mm-hmm. So, maybe sometime in the future.
Right.
And it's funny because it was like a year later when the syndication opportunity for Hannity came along. They didn't have much of a choice. And so they said, you know, yeah, you're going to kind of be on the back burner. I mean, they said it pretty out front. And I said, well, can I look around? They said, absolutely.
Wow.
I called that program director in Dallas.
Yeah.
He says, I just hired somebody yesterday.
Oh man. Talk about timing.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Jeff, thank you for holding.
Yeah, so after all the sensible commentary I've heard since Zelensky and the whole thing, how can we really blame Zelensky after dealing with Biden for how many years? What day did the war, what year did the war start? All that time dealing with Biden, you're going to be mind blown. You're going to be out of, you're out of the realms of reality when you've been dealing with Biden for that long. I can't blame Zelensky. Now he knows what's up. God bless
him. He was getting what he wanted from Biden.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And he was getting what he wanted.
And he got it for 3 years.
Yeah.
But look, how can a world leader, the head of a country, not understand, at least have an inkling of how politics works, and now you're dealing with a different leader. And you don't come in all puffed up and say, remember me, I'm, you know, Zelensky fighting for freedom around the world.
Yeah.
Like, no, you need to reintroduce yourself and prove yourself to the new president if you want that president's help. I think it was out of line.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the people in Ukraine will see it differently. We'll see. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and plenty more to talk about on this fantastic Monday. 97.3 The Sky. J.D. Vance is a traitor. Go ski in Russia, is what one of the signs said.
What?
Yeah, when he and his family were trying to go skiing in Vermont.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little getaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets a little hectic, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, apparently they were waiting for him there with signs, and that was one of them. Vance is a traitor, go ski in Russia. Well, I don't know how much of the media picked up on that, but we know that the guy from the Star Trek, the guy George Takei, who's well-known, you know, hardcore lefty, anti-conservative voice. You know, everybody gives their opinion or whatever, but he really thinks this is great. He literally was cheering on leftists who crashed Vice President J.D. Vance's family ski trip. He's like proud of that.
Man,
is that the world that we want to live in?
He's pretty radical. He's kind of bizarre.
But that's taking things on an extremely personal level involving his family. Nobody signs up for that. And it's one thing for it to happen because you're always going to have rude, nasty, ugly people, lefties holding those signs and being nasty. But for him to really, like, promote it and cheer it, that's sick. And that's a guy who, you know, had some level of popularity at one time. I bet you he was the guy who never would sign an autograph or take a picture in a restaurant. He was probably a jerk. Because anybody who had some sort of relationship with their fans, you know, wouldn't do that, nor would they want to see anybody else's personal time being not just infringed on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing would scare kids.
Right.
What kid wouldn't be scared? Oh, mommy, those people seemed really angry and nasty, and they were cussing and spitting and giving dad some of these sign language things saying he's number one, but I don't think they really meant number one. It's just sad and sick. And then you applaud that? Really? Just, I don't know, just how... You're just rotten. It's not even, it goes beyond partisanship. You're just a rotten human being.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're just ugly and rotten, you know? And you already started to rot from the inside out years ago, George Takei.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Space cadet.
I'm going to throw away all my Star Trek stuff now. Good morning, Mike. You're on the Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I don't know if you guys brought up the meeting that Zelensky had with the Democrats, and there were probably others, before the meeting with Trump, and they told him not to sign that deal.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. We have covered that, and yes, they told him not to do the deal with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they had an influence on him, but it's just like, I guess you didn't hear the anecdotal story we told. Look, once you shake somebody's hand or you tell them on Zoom or whatever, oh, yeah, it's a done deal. I'm coming to sign the agreement. And you don't raise any other issues. Like, no, I'm good with it. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's move forward. That was supposedly what he said. Everything was good. This was not set up to be let's renegotiate the deal in front of the public. Trump would never do that, or he wouldn't allow for it. But he was caught by surprise. All right, let's go to Rich. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Yes, and in that meeting, when Vance was talking about the diplomacy part of it, and then Zelensky interrupts, he says, can I interrupt? What good is he kind of was questioning what good was the diplomacy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it made me think this guy didn't want to have a peace deal. He wanted the United States to say, we're going to threaten Russia with us getting involved militarily. Because that's what it sounded like to me. Zelensky was not, like you said, he went back on his word and everything, and the Democrats put him up to it, too.
Well, yeah, and then he spoke over the president and vice president. I mean, he was just downright rude. There was no, like, respected decorum. He's in, you know, like, the president's Oval Office. I mean, that's a... You would treat that a certain way. He either doesn't get it or he didn't care. James, what are your thoughts?
Yes. Zelensky didn't change what's going on the ground in Ukraine or how much money he's going to get. What he did do was keep you and everybody else from talking about the New York FBI office, Cash Patel, and Pam Bondi. Follow the money.
Huh. Well, it could be. It also, took a little bit away from a terrorist attack on Israel, mm-hmm. a stabbing attack that killed one and maimed four others.
Yep.
So, yeah, when an event like this it does tend to take some of the air out of the proverbial media room.
But we talk about Bondi and Cash Patel and all those things on Friday. So.
We did.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about him again later and probably tomorrow, too. Davis, Gainesville, Chevrolet Skylines, and Peasant with a Pitchfork. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about this because it gives me a chance to pat myself on the back a little bit. It was about 3 years ago, next week, I called you and said that the little rat weasel over there in Ukraine was going to get his whole country destroyed. And I got to coin the term rat weasel. Back about 2.5 years ago, and that's what he is, and that's exactly, he proved it at that meeting, that Oval Office meeting the other day. He set him up, and he set Trump up by agreeing to the thing and then changing it once they got into that meeting in front of the press. And I agree with Greg when that caller called in and said that he was used to dealing with Biden, and it got him all discombobulated. No, Biden gave him everything he wanted.
Right.
He had something over Biden and Biden's son, and he got anything he asked for. He got everything. And when Biden went away, his sugar daddy went away. Hmm. And now he doesn't like the way it's working out with Trump. And
I think we're in agreement there. And, you know, one of the things that kind of tipped the hand for a lot of people was we asked for, like, documentation of where, you know, the money and armaments were being utilized and spent. And he can't account for, like, a billion of it at least.
Yeah.
And probably more. But, yeah, and then our own Congress, when the Democrats were in charge, didn't even want to push that or promote that as a bill. It didn't get signed into law. So, basically, was getting money unfettered without even accountability mm-hmm. for it. So, yeah, he had, you're right, Biden was his sugar daddy.
Oh, yeah.
All right. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up right around the corner, and you are listening to 97.3 The Sky.